This is lesson HBS 135, and it's called Gifts and Ministries in the Body, a Preface. Now, the reason I call this a preface is because I was already teaching on the gifts and ministries in the body. In fact, you'll notice this number is out of sequence, 135. And in the middle of teaching that, I was, I believe, checked by the Lord. And I believe He's indicated to me that I should go back and explain why we're studying gifts and ministries in the body of Christ. So this lesson's going to be an explanation of why the Lord wants us to know about various gifts and ministries He's given to the body of Christ. And so this lesson then is kind of a precursor to the following lessons on the gifts and ministries in the body. And it's specifically being taught to tell each one of you that are listening to these lessons why it is that the Lord wants us to know about these things. I believe that God wants us to consider again why we're studying these things. We've been going on a long series of lessons that started with Jesus, our example. That was a series. We had a series on the body of Christ. And now I'm starting this series on gifts and ministries in the body. And as I said, I believe He wants those hearing these lessons to consider thoughtfully that all believers are called by God to perform some ongoing service to the world or to the body of Christ or both. And I believe that He wants us to know that He, our Lord, has supernaturally gifted each one of us in the body of Christ, that's every believer, to perform some ongoing service, like I say, either to the world, to the body of Christ, or both. And God has provided these supernatural abilities or gifts or callings, ministries, whatever you want to call them, so that we don't have to rely on our natural abilities. And that should be a comfort to us. God is not asking us to do anything on our own. And we're going to see that throughout this lesson. He likens Himself to a vine, we're being the branches. And the branches can't do anything without the vine. In other words, He will give us the ability to do that which He's called us to do. We're going to see that in this lesson. And that's why these things are called gifts and ministries, especially the gift part. It's because God will gift every one of us with some ability, supernatural ability, to accomplish that which He's called us to do. He's not asking us to do anything on our own, folks. So don't feel that, well, how can I possibly do this? I don't have any ability. No, maybe you don't have any natural abilities, but usually we find that we do have some natural abilities. But God is giving us supernatural abilities to accomplish that which He's called us to do. And so in the following lessons, we're going to be discussing some of these supernatural gifts and ministries that God's given to each member of the body of Christ to do. But what I'd like to do now in this lesson, which I call a preface, in other words, a lesson that goes before we get into the gifts and ministries, I'd like us to consider now that each believer, that's every one of us, virtually every one of us that's listening to these lessons, are called to minister in some fashion. And further, we've been given gifts, supernatural gifts, to perform in these areas. So, again, it's not like that we have to get our courage up or to use our own natural abilities to do that which God has called us to do, because in the following series we're going to see that He gives us supernatural abilities to accomplish that which He's called us to do. He's not going to ask any of us to do anything outside of our ability. So, like I say, before we get into these future lessons on the actual gifts and ministries in the body, I believe God wants to have this one lesson on why we're going to be studying these gifts and ministries. All right, so number one, I believe that God has impressed upon me that all believers, every one of us in the body of Christ, are called to minister in some fashion. Now, let me just give you a few scriptures. Actually, quite a few scriptures, because I want this to be something that each one of us sees from the Bible, that everyone, every believer, every member of the body of Christ is called and gifted to perform some service, either to the world, as I say, or to the body of Christ. So let's look at some scriptures. First of all, our old standby text, John 14:12. Okay? Well, we all should know this one by now. And Jesus is saying in here, well, first of all, let's go back to verse 10, because that lends some import to what follows, I believe. Jesus is telling the people, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. That means he's not getting these words from his own intellect. He's being told by the Father what to say. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That tells us that every word that Jesus spoke in ministry and every act that he performed was given him by the Father. It also tells us he didn't do these things in his own power. He did it through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've discussed all this over and over, so you all know this by now. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now listen to this. Listen to it in a new way. He that believeth on me. That means, folks, he didn't just say to these people back then, the works that I do shall ye do also. That would let us out of it. That would just be spoken to the disciples that were following him then. But notice that Jesus was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, he that believeth on me. That includes us, doesn't it? Because we're believers. He that believeth on me, that, in other words, not just those listening back then, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, what is so special about him going to the Father that will enable believers to do these works? Well, jump down to verse 26 and you'll find out. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. And then if we skip over to John chapter 16, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. He shall show you things to come. In other words, what Jesus is telling his disciples is that because he's going away, he's going to send someone that's going to give each one of us the ability to minister and to do the works that he did here on this earth as his body. In other words, he that believeth on me, that's all of us. That's the members of the body of Christ. And greater works will we be able to do because, number one, there'll be more of us than Jesus was just doing these things by himself when he was on the earth. So there'll be more of us. And furthermore, there'll be more things to do. For example, Jesus couldn't minister in salvation because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. He couldn't minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit because that was only given after Pentecost. So there's going to be some other works that we're going to be called to do. But my point here in this first scripture is to show you that Jesus has given every member of the body of Christ works to do. Further, these works will be similar and like and equal to the works that he did while he was on earth, plus some more. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. We all know about that, so I'm not going to go back and read all those scriptures. But for your own benefit, I recommend you look up Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Mark 16, verses 15 through 20, and Luke 24, verses 47 through 49. That gives us the Great Commission. It also tells us that before we do the work that Jesus called us to do, we need to wait for the promise of the Father, that is, the Holy Spirit's anointing, to do these things. And He's going to give this anointing to every believer. Remember in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, in my name shall he do." And He gave us several things that those who believe on Him should do. And one of them was, they shall speak with new tongues. That means every believer is supposed to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've covered all this before. And they will speak with new tongues, and they will be given a special anointing to work the works that Jesus has called us each to do. All right? So we have John 14:12. We have the Great Commission, which I suggest you read for yourselves. We don't have time right now in this lesson because I have a lot to cover. And I gave you the scriptures for those. Matthew 28:18, verses 18 through 20. Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. And Luke 24, verses 47 through 49. I suggest you look those up on your own. Now, we're already here at John 14. Just turn the page to John 15. I'd like to read a couple things there, which we haven't read too much about before, but it's going to fit in nicely with what we want to talk about in this lesson. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now listen, Jesus is speaking. And folks, we need to remember that these things that He's speaking here are the things that He spoke the very night before and the night of when He was taken away and the next day crucified. So these are very important things. Jesus is telling us very important things that we and those disciples back then needed to know. You know, just as like if you're going on a long trip, wouldn't you want to tell your family the important things that were very important for them to do and to think about while you were gone? I mean, the last words before you went on a long trip would be very important words. And so I believe it's the same way here. In John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is laying out His last words to His disciples. And further, He's also speaking to us by the Holy Spirit, because He keeps saying, "He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me." So that back then they didn't know exactly what that meant. They thought it just meant them. But we know now that those who believe on Him would include all of us today who are believers, who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, who are members of the body of Christ. Now listen to what He says in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. "I am the true vine." So Jesus is likening Himself to a vine, a grapevine. "And my Father is the husbandman," or the farmer that tends the vine. That's what He means. "Every branch in me," that is, in the vine, "that bears not fruit, He," talking about His Father, "takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it," or prunes it, "that it may bring forth more fruit." All right? Now, let's skip down to verse 16. And the only reason we're skipping around a little bit is because there's so much I want to cover today. Verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Did you know that every one of us believers is ordained? You talk here about preachers being ordained, evangelists being ordained, pastors being ordained, but you never think about believers being ordained. But yet we are. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Why do we know that Jesus is talking about us believers here and not just special people called to minister? Because we go back to the beginning of this chapter and we see in verse 2, "Every branch in me." That's who He's talking about. Are you in Him? Yes, you are if you're a believer. All the epistles tell us about being in Him, in Christ. That means those in Him that He's talking about are us believers. And He's saying that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you, believers, that you should go and bring forth fruit. And further, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it you. I'll bet you've never heard before that answered prayer has anything to do with the fruit that we bear as believers. But yet, Jesus links answered prayer to bearing fruit. Now, if you go back and read this whole account in John 15, we'll read some more of this later, it links very directly certain things that as believers that we need, things like peace, things like joy, things like answered prayer, are all intimately tied in with this fruit-bearing Jesus is talking about. Just in very brief summary, if we are not bearers of fruit as believers, we're not going to have a lot of peace. If we're not bearing fruit as believers, we're not going to have a lot of joy. If we're not bearing fruit as believers, our prayers stand in jeopardy of not being answered. Now, this is kind of new to a lot of us, but I will show you from the scriptures later on in this lesson how this is very true. Now, first of all, let me just say one thing. God isn't out to punish us here. Okay? He's not trying to punish us with an unanswered prayer, a lack of joy, or a lack of peace. He's just saying those things come naturally to the one who bears fruit. And I will elaborate a little bit more later on my personal experience in this area, which I know about fairly intimately. But for right now, we just want to see that there's something very important to the Father and to Lord Jesus about bearing fruit for the kingdom. And that is so that other people will come into a knowledge of Jesus as their Savior, so that other people will be taught the Word, so that other people will be pastored as a shepherd to his flock, so other people who will have churches built for them that aren't yet believers, that would be apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors and teachers, all of these are bearing fruit for the kingdom. And the layman has a special place in here. You may say, well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, and I'm not even a teacher. Does this apply to me? Yes, it does. I will show you very clearly soon that it applies to all of us. He's given us gifts, all of us, in various areas so that we'll all bear fruit. And bearing fruit is simply doing something that you've been assigned to do that will help another, that will profit another person or group of people. That's all bearing fruit means. Okay, so we've read John chapter 15 here about bearing fruit. Now let's turn to Romans 12:3. My point here, again, is to show that every one of us believers have been given something to do. Every single one of us. Now this is something that I didn't always know myself, but it's something that is in God's heart, and He wants us to know that He is gifted, He's called every one of us to minister in some area, every single believer. Now let's go on. It says in the Word of God, let everything be confirmed by two or more witnesses. So far we've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 witnesses. That was John 14, the 3 witnesses in the Great Commission, and then here in John 15. So far we've got 5 witnesses. Okay, but let's turn to our 6th witness, Romans 12, chapter 3. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, is speaking to us believers. The epistles were written to believers, okay? And he's speaking about gifts. We'll get down, if you read down through the chapter, he's talking about gifts, starting in verse 6. We all have different gifts. We have gifts differing, it tells us in verse 6. Now let's go back and read verse 3, knowing that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking about gifts. Now verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that means the Holy Spirit giving him grace to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to every man that is among you. Now who is he writing this to? If you go back at the beginning of the chapter, you're going to find out he's writing to believers. So I say to you believers, I could say it that way, through the grace given unto me, that is through the Holy Spirit prompting him, to every man, that means to every believer that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, this will be explained, but to think soberly, according as God has given to every believer the measure of faith. In other words, don't think highly of yourself if you've been given some gift or calling, because it's been given, one's been given to every believer. So you shouldn't think of yourself as being someone special when you've been given a gift by God to minister in some area, because God has given to every believer the measure of faith to minister. Now, can I know it's the measure of faith to minister? Well, we'll go on here. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being members, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, now listen, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. On ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teaches on teaching. See, Paul is talking here about every one of us ministering in different gifts according to the proportion of grace given to us. And this grace is according to the proportion of faith that we have to minister. So what he's saying back here in verse 3, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, because he's given to every one of us a measure of faith to minister in a certain gift that's not going to be the same. We're all going to have different gifts. So he's saying, don't think of yourself highly, because every one of you believers have been given gifts to minister. And you'll each minister according to the faith God has given to each of you to minister. That is, according to the faith he's given each of you to operate in certain gifts. So once again, we see here that every believer has been given these gifts. They won't all be the same, but to every one of us has been given gifts to minister. Okay, that's six witnesses. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he's talking here, this is one of our special chapters we talked about earlier, talking about gifts and ministries in the body. All right, now concerning, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, talking about gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now let's jump down to verse 7. He's talking in here about gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit, these gifts, talking about gifts of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. You see that? Every man. Skip down to verse 11. But all these, he's talking about the gifts he's just talked about in verses 8, 9, and 10, worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, he's talking about believers. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Who are these brethren? Those are believers. And he's saying to every man, to everyone. So in verse 7, he says to every man these gifts have been given. In verse 11, all these gifts worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, we won't all have the same gifts, but every man will minister in some gift. All right. There's our seventh witness, I believe it is. Now down to verse 18. Verse 18. Now God hath set the members, talking about the body of Christ, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And then he goes on down in verse 28 and starts talking about what some of these giftings will be. Some will be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some will work miracles, some will have a ministry of gifts of healings, ministries of helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So he's talking here. My point right now is to show that every man, everyone will have some gift, ministry, or calling that he's expected to bear fruit in the body of Christ. All right? I think that was our seventh witness. Now turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 18 through 20. Let's go move up to verse 17. Therefore, talking about when a person is born again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now listen, verse 18. And all these things that happen in our spirit when we're born again are of God, who has reconciled us. Now who's he reconciled? Us, believers, to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us, believers, the ministry of reconciliation. Who has this ministry? I'm asking you out there who are listening to this lesson, who has this ministry of reconciliation that Paul is talking about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Well, every one of us, those who have been reconciled to himself, to the Father, by Jesus Christ. That's us believers, folks. Every one of us has been given a ministry of reconciliation. Well, you say, what is that ministry? Read on. To wit, that means an explanation. That means, here's what it is. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, talking about the world, and has committed unto us believers the word of reconciliation. Now then, we, us believers, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And then what do we say to the world? We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, God has given to every one of us believers this ministry of reconciliation, and that is to tell the world that God was in Christ and he has reconciled you people in the world who are not yet believers unto himself. He's no longer counting your sins against you, and he's committed unto us believers that word to the world. Okay, so there's our, I think, eighth witness that we're all called to minister. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at another witness. I think this must be what? 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, this would be number 9. Now let's go on here. Let's start with verse 1. I therefore, Paul saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you all, each, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, who's he talking about here? Well, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, it tells you, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Who's he writing it to? To the saints. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Folks, he's writing to believers. Who are the saints? That's us believers. Who are the faithful in Christ Jesus? That's us believers. So, he's writing to believers, and he's telling us believers that he wants us to walk worthy, listen, of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Each believer has a vocation or a gifting, or a calling, or a ministry, something to do in the body of Christ, to bear fruit in the body either to the world or to the body of Christ. And then he goes on in verse 2 and 3 and tells us how we're to carry ourselves as workers in this vocation he's called us to do. He wants us to walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing or putting up with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And then he goes on and talks about that some more. And then in verse 7 he says, unto every one of us, who's he talking about again? Believers. We just proved that. He's talking to every one of us believers and saying that every one of us has been given grace according to a measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, every believer has been given some gift from Christ to minister in this vocation where he's called us to walk. Every one of us, no exceptions. Verse 8, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, we know from reading the first part of this chapter, he's talking about believers here. Gifts given to believers. Now let's find out what some of those gifts are. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some of us believers prophets, and some of us believers evangelists, and some of us believers pastors, and some of us believers teachers. And there's more too. We'll find out as we get into the gifts and ministries. Not just these five-fold ministries, which are more or less full-time ministries, but there's others for us laymen as well, and I'll talk about those later, as I said. Now, why has he given us all believers, all of us believers, these gifts, ministries, and callings? For the perfecting of the saints, some of us will minister to the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, that some of us, like the evangelist, will have a ministry to the world. And we're doing it, why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in a unity of faith and a knowledge of the Son of God. That would be the evangelist that preaches to the world, so they'll come into a knowledge of the Son of God. It's going to be done until we all come into a perfect man, mature, that means, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But we will, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, in other words, every one of us, again, every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So once again, we see that every believer is going to have some gifting, some calling, some ministry, either to the world or to the body of Christ, or maybe both. I think that was that nine witnesses? Let's go on. There's one more I'd like to read. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but I don't think I've ever really heard anyone that I've listened to really talk in a way that every believer needs to understand that they have some calling, gifting, or ministry that God expects them to fulfill and bear fruit in this world while we're on earth. I'm not sure that every believer understands this. I think a lot of believers think that, yes, I know some have been called. We have apostles. I know about those, and prophets and evangelists and pastors, especially pastors and teachers, and they've been called to minister. But I've got a job. I have to go to work every day, and I go to church, and I go on mission trips, and I do things occasionally, but I don't have any kind of special ministry God's called me to do. And folks, I believe the reason God has me teaching this lesson is, yes, you do. And this is not to make you feel guilty or anything, but to show you that each one of us has a gifting, a calling, or ministry, and that God has given us the ability to function in this capacity. It's not something we're going to have to kind of go, gulp, Boy, I see I have something to do, but how in the world am I ever going to do this? No, whatever God calls you to do, He will give you the ability to do it. Now, let's look at one more witness here in Hebrews chapter 6, and let's move down to verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, who's he talking about here again? He's talking here, if we go back in chapter 3, where he starts this exposition, really, we see that he's talking to brethren. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking to brethren. That's my point here, okay? He's talking to believers. So, in this chapter, verse 6, he's continuing his exposition here. And he finally says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, in verse 1, let us go on unto perfection. And he wants us to go on from the elementary teachings that the believers are to get in as baby Christians. And let's move on to the meat of the word he talks about in verse 14 of chapter 5. And he's talking now about us who've been working and laboring in the vineyard, in the body of Christ. He wants us to know that God is not unrighteous, that's verse 10 where we started, to forget our work and our labor of love, which we've showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Here Paul is talking about those of us who understand now, finally, that we've each been given us some giftings, callings, and ministries, either to the world or to the body of Christ, to understand that God is not unrighteous to forget this work that we're doing for Him in the body, this labor of love that we have, which we've showed toward His name, in that we've ministered to His saints, and we do minister. And He desires that every one of us continue to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. And that we be not slothful, verse 12, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So here God has gone a little further with us here. He expects us by now, by Hebrews, to understand that every one of us has been given a gifting, a calling, a ministry to the body, some fruit to bear for the kingdom. And He's encouraging us to go on now and not forget that we've been called and to continue with this labor of love which we have, that we've ministered in, and that every one of us will continue to minister. In other words, He understands, by this time we should understand that all of us have been called to minister in the body of Christ. And now He's exhorting us to continue in this ministry. So at this point, God expects us all to understand that we've been called. All right? Each one of us has been given a gifting. We all understand that by now, hopefully. And that He's encouraging every one of us to continue in this labor of love. And to continue until the very end. Every one of us. So, not only are every one of us called to minister in the body, this is telling us that every one of us has been called to continue to minister until the end. That is, until our time is up upon this earth. So it's not a one-time thing, folks, when we're called and gifted. It continues throughout our whole lives after we become believers. Notice that in every one of these scriptures I've read unto you, assignments to minister are given to those who believe on Him, those who abide in Him, those who have the Holy Spirit, to everyone, to every man, and finally, in this last verse, to every one of us who have been already ministering. Folks, that includes all of us Christians. Now, we're going to see further in the gifts and ministries in the body, which I'm going to teach on, that some of us will have full-time ministries, such as the fivefold ministries we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But we're also going to see that some of us will minister part-time with an ongoing gift or ministry. That is, we'll have jobs we'll go to every day. We know that. But we're going to have a ministry that's even more important to God, that's going to not be full-time like the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but it will be full-time in the sense that it will be ongoing in our lives, throughout our lives. Some gifting, some calling, some ministry. That is, each one of us laymen will have as well. And even though we'll have full-time jobs, we call them full-time jobs because we go to work for 8 hours a day, but we're going to have a full-time ministry too, in the sense that not that we'll work at full-time like an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. But yes, God understands we'll have jobs every day, but this will be a gifting, a calling, a ministry that will more or less reside on us for the rest of our Christian lives. Some gifting that we'll have that God expects us to minister in as the opportunity arises. And I'm going to get into this in later lessons, what some of those giftings and callings, especially for the layman, are. But my point here in this lesson is all of us are called to do something. All of us are called to bear fruit for the body in some way, some fashion, on a regular basis. This is the homework for lesson HBS 135. First question, true or false? God has left us Christians on the earth mainly to find a good job, raise a family, and go to a good Bible-believing church. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. That's all good, but it's not what God left us on earth to do. For example, look at the Great Commission. Did God say, I'm going away now, I'm getting ready to go away. What I want you to do when I'm gone is to find a good job, raise a family, and be sure you go to a good Bible-believing church. No, he didn't say that. He understood that if we're Christians, we're going to want to do those things. However, the Great Commission has a lot to say about other things, and it doesn't include that. So this answer is false. He wants us to use our special God-given gift that he's going to give each one of us, as we talked about in the lesson, to help others. Next question, true or false? It would be a good idea to remind ourselves what God said in his word he wants us believers to do while we're still on the earth. Is that true or false? Well, that's, of course, true. And the reason I put that question in here is because it's very easy for us believers to get caught up in the world's approach to life. We're surrounded every day by all kinds of things that have nothing to do with what God left us here for. And so it's kind of easy just to kind of go with the flow and just assume that whatever God wants done on the earth, he's going to do through our pastor or the board of elders in our church or other people that are called to the full-time ministry, and somehow that it doesn't include us. And so this question was put in here just so you'd think about this a little bit and possibly remind ourselves that we have a greater reason that God left us on the earth. After all, if he didn't want us to do something, he could have said, come on home and be with me and we'll go on together forever here in heaven. But he didn't do that. He left us on the earth to do some things, didn't he? So that's what this whole lesson was about. Next question, true or false? Ministry means something God wants our pastor and our board of elders to do. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that's false. And I just put that in there to remind ourselves that we're not to get caught up in thinking that God's going to use someone else to get his will done on the earth. And we're just here to have a job and have a family and to put our money into the church so they can do it. No, God's got something for each one of us to do. Next question, true or false? God has called the whole world to minister in some way. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. He didn't call the world to minister at all. The world is unsaved. The world needs Jesus, and we're the ones that are supposed to tell him about Jesus. So he's not expecting anything out of the world except to hear the gospel message and to get saved, hopefully. Remember, they have a father that's the devil. We have a father that is our Father in heaven, Jesus' Father. So we have whole different fathers. We have different agendas. So God has not called the world to do anything except hopefully for us to get the gospel to them so they can get saved. And so they can then go tell someone else about Jesus. So that's false. Next question. No, but he's called most Christians to minister in some way. Is that true or false? Well, that's false too. He hasn't called most Christians to minister in some way, as we'll find out in the next question. Next question, true or false? No, God has called all Christians to minister in some way. And that is true. Next question. Some will minister to the world and some will minister to other Christians. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. And both Christians and the world need ministry. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the homework. But it's true. Some will minister to the world and some will minister to other Christians. Next question. And some will minister to both. Is that true or false? Well, that's true too. Some will minister to both. In fact, well, almost all of us will minister on occasion to the world, always, because they need to be saved. And so God has left the Great Commission to every member of the body of Christ to go to the world and tell them about Jesus. And there'll be something else probably that we'll have to do that will help other Christians. So, and I shouldn't even say probably here. So actually God has called, I should have said here probably, and all will minister to both, because at some time or other we will all minister to the world and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that is true. And I could have made it even stronger by saying, and all will minister, meaning all Christians will minister to both. Next question. Give an example of a ministry to the world. Well, you don't have to think very far here to see that the main of ministry to the world is to tell them about Jesus. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18? Well, let's start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us, now here it is, this is our ministry to the world, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that means, and here it is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us this word of reconciliation. In other words, we're supposed to be telling unbelievers about what Jesus was doing for them, that he already reconciled them to himself through his death on the cross. And then all they need to do now is to accept that death and resurrection of Jesus for them, and to accept him as their Lord, confess him as their Lord, and believe that God is raising from the dead, and they will be saved if they do that. And so God has entrusted us with this ministry called the Ministry of Reconciliation. And so it's in a little compact form here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And so this is our ministry then to the world. And another ministry to the world, I should say, is loving people regardless. In other words, don't ever find yourself, and it's easy to do, looking down your nose, so to speak, at someone who isn't a Christian, that don't know Jesus, that's living a sinful, maybe to us horrible life. They don't have Jesus. They don't have a heavenly Father. They have Satan as their father. They can't do any different, really. They're just acting out who they are. And what we need to do is to lovingly give them the Word of God that tells them what Jesus did for them, so they can then be saved. Remember what Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Next question. Give an example of a ministry to the body of Christ. Well, teaching would be one ministry. Teachers are primarily sent to minister to the body of Christ, that once they get saved, to disciple those Christians and give them the Word of God on various subjects in the Bible to help them grow in Christ. Pastor is also sent to minister to the body of Christ. He's also sent to minister to the unbelievers as well, because they come to church occasionally and he has to give them the message of salvation and to love on them and show them that they're appreciated and make them feel welcome. So the pastor really has a ministry to both the world and to the body of Christ. And then, of course, there's a lot of you believers that are listening right now that are called to help one another in the body, to encourage one another, to build up one another, to have a good word for someone when they're going through a hard time. We'll get into some of these ministries later for the layman of what they're called to do. There's a whole ministry called the Ministry of Helps, which we'll talk about later, that is primarily, well, no, I shouldn't say primarily, but is to the body of Christ as well as to the world. Okay, so any of those things you could put in there and get a correct answer. Given an example of a ministry to both, in other words, to both the world and the body of Christ. Well, as I said before, the pastor has a ministry both to the world and the body of Christ. The apostle has a ministry both to the world and to the body of Christ, because apostle really, his ministry encompasses really everything. He goes out, gets the lost saved, he builds churches, he goes to where people don't never heard of Christ and brings the gospel message. He may stay for a while and get the churches moving and get the churches growing and then move on. He teaches. He has some prophetic abilities. He really ministers in everything, and the apostle does. So that would be another ministry to both. The prophet has a ministry to both, and we'll get into this more in future lessons. And we, as Christians, have a ministry to both, really. As I said before, our ministry encompasses not only helping one another in the body of Christ, but also telling others that don't know Jesus about Jesus and helping them to become Christians. Tell me what you believe John 14:12 tells Christians. What do you think it says? I want you to use your own words here. So I'm not going to answer this question for you. I want you to go and read John 14:12 and then tell me here and tell me what you believe John 14:12 tells Christians. Next question. How do you know this verse is talking about Christians? And I want you to answer that one on your own too. Okay? I want you to answer how you know that this verse, John 14:12, is speaking to Christians as well as to the ones that Jesus was speaking directly to that could hear him speaking at that time. How do you know this verse is also talking about Christians? Next question. Or false. The ministry or gift I have will be an ongoing ministry and not a one-time thing. That true or false? Well, that's true, folks. When God gifts us and calls us to perform some ministry in the body of Christ or to the world, that we'll find that that gifting or that calling is an ongoing thing in a certain area, usually, that God will use us in over and over. Could be lots of different things, but we'll talk about that later. But usually this gift or calling that you'll have will be something that you use over and over again. Next question. That usually means I will be used by God in certain areas over and over and will not have a variety of ministries like Jesus did. Remember, Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. We have the Holy Spirit by measure, and I talked about that in the lesson. And so the answer to this question then is true. It does usually mean that I'll be used by God in certain areas over and over again and will not have a whole lot of different things, giftings, like Jesus did. That is true. Now, I'm going to ask you to answer these questions on your own. And there will be no right or wrong answer here, but I'm interested to hear what some of you will, how you will answer these questions. So I'll leave these questions to you. Are you a Christian, yes or no? Is there something you believe God wants you to do to help or minister to others? Answer that, yes or no. Do you know what it is? Answer that, yes or no. And finally, the last question, if you do know and would care to share it, you may write it below. In other words, if you do know what God has called you to do, what his gifting or calling for your life is as a Christian, and you care to share it, just write it in the blank below. If you'd rather not, that's okay too. So this is an optional answer to this question. That then completes the homework for this lesson.